Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I remember the first day of Bible college, one of my professors said, look to your left, now look to your right. One of those people that you just looked at will not make it to graduation. They will drop out and they will quit. Roughly 30% of everyone in this room will drop out. I thought, man, one of these two losers on my sides isn't going to finish. Turned out I was the loser, and I was the one that did not finish. So I want you to look to your left. Go ahead, look to your left. Look to your right. Now tell them, not only are you going to run, you're going to win. Because we're not going to have a negative confession. All of us are going to make it to heaven, praise God. All of us are going to finish the race that God had. All of us are going to overcome whatever the enemy tries to use to trip us up, to slow us down, and to stop us. Because Jesus didn't die so we could barely scratch by, so we could wimp out, so we could wuss out. Jesus paid the price so that not only we could finish our race, but we could win the race that God has called us to. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We'll be in these four verses, 24 through 27, for the rest of tonight. This is what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. So run to win. Everybody is running in life. You are either running from something or you are running to something. And in actuality, we are running from and to simultaneous. You know, tonight there are people that are running from God tonight. And as they run from God, they're running to destruction. They're running to isolation and loneliness. They're running to addiction. But the moment that you repent, we always say when you turn 360 degrees, you don't want to turn 360 degrees. That's a full circle. When you come to Jesus, you make a 180 degree turn. You turn your back on the world. You turn your back on sin. You turn your back on the flesh. And you begin to pursue Jesus with everything that is on the inside of you. And so it's not about just what I'm running from, but it's about what we are running to. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. I don't care what they tell you at Little League. Everybody shouldn't get a ribbon. I don't care what they tell you at the art contest. You say, Pastor Brandon, that's a little crass. That's a little mean. No, that's biblical. Paul said everybody that runs does not get a prize. He said everybody runs, but everybody is not getting a prize. So run to win. If you're taking notes, write those three words. Run to win. We're not just running to run, we're running to win. Church, some people run in place. That means you're exerting the same amount of energy it takes to move forward, yet you are not progressing, you are not growing, you are not maturing. If you are going to get your sweat on, you better be progressing, praise God, and growing and becoming what God has called you to be. Some of us run in place, some run in circles. The people of God, God literally opened the Red Sea and split it left and right, walked through on dry ground. What a miracle God had done. And he did that only for the very same people that were a part of that miracle, saw what God did, to walk in circles for 40 years. Can I encourage somebody, run with purpose, which means you've got to break the circle cycle that the devil has had you in and on in your life. I'm going to say it loud and I'm going to say it proud tonight. There is no such thing as a generational curse for somebody that has been to the cross and been washed in the blood of Jesus. The generational curse died with the old you. Behold, you are a new creation. All things are passed away and all things have become new. When you said yes to Jesus, everything changed. That means that heart disease doesn't run in your family. It stops with the blood of Jesus. That means divorce and broken marriages don't run in your family. It stops with you in the name of Jesus. False religion, stop with you in the name. Addiction, stop with you in the name of Jesus. Some run to just run. Those are the ones that come into church and they lift their hands, but they don't worship. They sing songs, but they don't praise. They open the app, but they don't have true devotion to God. They attend a church, but they never become the church. So they run just to run. They run so that they can ask you, hey, did you see me run? You see how fast I was? You see me clear that hurdle? I'm sorry, I don't want to get too far into my notes. I'm too busy running my race and clearing my hurdles to watch you run your race and clear your hurdles. I was reminded of it last night, spending some time with friends, and I love what Bishop's friend, who is a pastor of a church, a gentleman came up to him a Sunday after he had talked the previous Sunday to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, I appreciate your prayers all week long. If you hadn't been praying for me, he said, I would have never made it. And the pastor said, pray for you. I ain't thought about you since last Sunday. I've been out there winning my race. I've been out there fighting my battles. I've been out there building my faith. And you say, oh, a pastor shouldn't talk like that. First and foremost, a pastor is a saint of God that's got his own race to run, and sometimes he is so focused on running his race that he doesn't have time for any anybody else. I knew you wouldn't amen too much there. Some run in the wrong direction. I'm so glad that Jesus got a hold of me when he did and just said, hey, let's turn this thing around. As hard as you've been running that way, I just need you to turn around and run that hard this way. As hard as you were running for the world, come on, I want you to run for the kingdom like that. As hard as you were out there, come on, you wanted to fill the club and bump in the club with your friends all weekend long. You text everybody, hey, meet me at 11 o'clock at so-and-so. Hey, you bring the stuff and I'll bring this, and you bring her and I'll bring him and I'll do that. Well, now the same thing, you got the same phone, the text messages work the same way. Now it's not meet me at the club on Friday night, now it's meet me at church on Sunday morning. Meet me at Bible study on Thursday night. Hey, you bring your Bible. I brought my Bible. Hey, open the app. Let's get in the Word. Let's start worship. Hey, turn on the iPod. Let's do something great for Jesus tonight. Some were running the wrong direction. You just got to flip that race, that runner around. Some run in the wrong race. Some are running on the wrong track. Some are running in the wrong lane. Here's a good one. Some run with the wrong people. You can be on the right track, right lane, wrong people. You could be running the fastest you've ever run, but with the wrong people. And if you run with the wrong people long enough, you're going to end up running the wrong way, or you're going to get to a destination that you never wanted to be at. So run to win. Run to win. Running the right way is vitally important to you winning. I shared with you spending time a few years ago working out with East Central's strength and conditioning coach for their football team. And I remember running around the track, and he would stand in the middle of the track. And for those of you that remember Mike Brock, shout out to Mike Brock. He still listens to the podcast. He now lives in another city here in Texas, and he still, I believe, is coaching football. But Brock would stand in the middle of that track, and I would run. And he'd say, come on, Fender, let's go. Pick up the pace. Run harder. And then he would start shouting scriptures at me. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes your flesh don't want to hear all that. I'm just trying to stay upright and move forward. And he's like, you can do all things through Christ through strength. And I'm like, shut up. But you need that kind of voice in your life. Because sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'm going to preach something, and you're going to be sitting there saying, shut up, preacher. But it's what you need to hear if it's from the Word of God. And I remember I'd run a lap or run two or three or four laps around that track, and he'd say, all right, Fender, come here. And he'd check my heart rate. And if it was under 160, he'd say, all right, you get to do it again until you get that heart rate up. And I'd run it again. And he was out there. He was saying, run the right way. So run with purpose. Let's talk about this. Finishing your race, which I've said a lot the last 2 weeks, And the Holy Spirit showed me some things this week as I dove a little further into this. Finishing the race and winning the race are not the same thing. We are taught early on when we begin competing, when we join Little League Baseball, Coach Pitt's Baseball, Basketball, Volleyball, we hear things like this: you don't have to be the fastest or the strongest, just do your best. Here's the problem: yours and my best is not going to cut it. If our best work, we wouldn't need Jesus. The fact that Jesus came down as he said, your best will never be enough. Your best, the Bible says, my best is as filthy rags to God. And so my best is not going to cut it. We hear things just like, just go at your own pace, slow and steady wins the race. While that sounds like good advice, it is only good advice if you are running to win, not running to just finish. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:7. I love this. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The first two-thirds of this scripture, church, says that I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. So we know that Paul knew how to finish the race. However, the last third of this scripture tells us more about Paul, because he follows the declaration with, I fought a good fight and I have finished the race, with this, and I have kept the faith. Finishing the race means that he's a finisher. Keeping his faith at the end of it all means that he is a winner. Can I tell somebody today, I don't want you to just cross the finish line. I want you to win. I don't want you to just finish the assignment in front of you. I want you to win the war that you are facing. Why? Because if you keep the faith, that means that you have won the race. Check this out. Let's go to the King James Version. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have finished my race. Somebody say my race. This is important for us to know. I'm not running against you. I'm running against me. I'm not running to beat you. I'm running to beat me. I am running against me, myself, and I. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy. Rewind 2 weeks back, Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross. Sorry, but I am too focused on my joy to watch you run your race. I'm too focused for the joy that God has set before me to compare myself to you and how you're running your race, whether you are faster or slower than I am. Listen to this. I love what God showed me. And let's just show of hands. Those of us that can be transparent and honest. Have you ever compared yourself to somebody? Maybe at your job, maybe in the looks department, maybe they're bigger than you. They're maybe better looking, you think, than you are. We compare ourselves. Check this out. The only way that I know I'm fast or slow is to compare myself to another runner. If I never saw anyone else run, I would never know that they're faster than me or they're slower than me. Therefore, if I never watch someone else run and I just stay in my lane and I just watch the joy in front of me and I keep my focus, check this out, I will never feel bad about myself because I'm slower than someone else, because I'm not watching the fast runner, or I will never feel overly inflated egotistically about myself because I'm faster than someone slow. Can I encourage you, anytime you feel bad about yourself, it is because you have let your eye wander to someone else running their race, and I don't care how they're running their race, at the end of this race, at the end of your life, you and I are not judged on how they ran their race. God is going to ask us, how did you run your race? He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not looking and judging you by how they served, by what they did, by what they gave, how hard they worshiped, how long they prayed. He is looking at your race. You would never be fat if it wasn't for skinny people. You would never know you're short if it wasn't for tall people. You would never know you're broke if it wasn't for rich people. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes on him and start running your race. Anytime you compare yourself, it is going to either inflate your ego or devastate you. I'm running my race. Without that comparison, I am more focused on my race than how I'm doing compared to your race. Write this down if you're taking notes tonight. Every winner is a finisher, but every finisher is not a winner. Every winner that I know finishes their race. But just because you finish the race doesn't mean you win. The marathons and the LA Marathon and Boston Marathon and Chicago Marathon have thousands of participants, and there's always going to be someone in last place. No one runs for last place. We run to win. We don't show up. David didn't show up in the valley for a ribbon and a trophy. He said, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for something that's not going to fade away. Here's the difference between winning and finishing. I graduated and finished high school with many people. One of those people is sitting in prison today. I'm talking about for real, people that I graduated with. One of them is sitting in prison today. Another one of my friends owns a multi-million dollar business. They have the same diploma. They both finished, but one is winning and the other is losing. I don't want to just finish, and I don't want you to struggle just to finish. I want us running through the tape. I want us running through. Have you ever seen, they don't stop at the finish line because they run through. They don't stop. They run through that tape. Are you a winner? Here's the litmus test. After you have finished the fight and after you have finished your race, like Paul, do you still have your faith? Can we stand on our feet and have a 30-second praise break right now? After everything we have been through, after everything you have fought, you're standing here on a Wednesday night, you still have your faith. After cancer, you still have your faith. After broken relationships, you still have your faith. After COVID, we still have our faith. After craziness in this world, we still have, after growing up in the home you did, you still have your faith. After false religion, you still have your faith. I thank God that I'm fighting, that I'm running, and I still have my faith. I still have my faith. We still have our faith. At the end of your life, the only thing that will matter, church, is your faith in Jesus still intact. Verse 25, all athletes are disciplined. I didn't put it in my notes, but as I was going through it before I stepped up here, I just thought, everybody that steps on the basketball court is not an athlete. In high school, it was always the one that had all the extra gear on. The headbands, the shooter sleeves. I knew that dude's not getting on the court unless somebody's up by 40 points or down by 40 points. Usually it was the least likely that was the best. All athletes have this in common. They're disciplined in their training. They are disciplined in their training. If you're going to run to win, you have to be disciplined in your training. Check this out. Running takes athleticism. Winning takes discipline. Just because you can run doesn't mean you're going to win. In a few months, the Summer Olympics are upon us. Mandy and I love the Summer Olympics, and one of the few things that we will sit down and watch together. Thousands of people have trained their entire life for 2.5 weeks this July and August. For some of the track and field athletes, they have trained all of their lives for 10 seconds. Here's a sobering reminder, though. Every Olympic medalist wins a medal that will fade. Verse 25 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training, and they do it for a prize that will fade away. But then he goes on to say, but we do it for an eternal prize. We run to win, church, an eternal prize. So I ask you these questions. Are you training every day to win an eternal prize? Are you falling apart every day and somebody's got to pump you up? I'm not saying you're not going to have days like that, but I'm going to say you can't have a lot of days like that and win your race. You're going to have to learn how to run while you weep. You're going to have to learn how to run while you hurt. You're going to have to learn how to run while you're going through negative things. Are you disciplining your flesh every day to win an eternal prize? Verse 26, so I run with purpose. There it is, after 23 minutes. I run with purpose. Purpose in the Greek comes from the word skopos. It means aim. It means intent. It means destination. I run with aim. I'm not running crazily. I am focused. I know where I'm headed, where I'm going, what I'm doing, and I run that way every day. I run with intent. That means intentional. I run. I do things on purpose. Somebody wasn't ready to worship today, so it took you to the halfway through the last song to get ready to worship. But for those of us that understand our life is worship, when the first chord was struck, we began to worship. Why? Because our worship is intentional. Somebody, when Sister Tammy was sharing the testimony about somebody giving, and you heard it was offering time, you started digging around in your pockets, and you were trying to find something to give. But others of us in here, we planned but when we got paid last, or we planned earlier today or before we got here. Hey, they're going to take an offering. I am going to be intentional in my giving. While others struggled in here and you said, man, I can't believe it's already Wednesday, and you struggled in here at 7:25 for no reason, there are other people that said, hey, it's 6:00. I got to be there to serve. They showed up with intention. If you are going to run with purpose, you have to become intentional. If your relationships are going to work, they have to be intention. You've got to be able to do things on purpose with purpose. That's what intention is. On purpose with purpose. I don't think any of us just showed up here today and said, wow, I didn't think I was going to be at church tonight. You got in a car. You drove here. You knew where you were going. You knew what exit to take. You knew what time the church service started. You got up front. You read the lyrics, or you knew the lyrics well enough to close your eyes. That is intentional. On purpose, with purpose, for purpose. I run with intent. I run intentionally. My objective is. That means there's no missteps. That means with purpose, on purpose. And the final thing is, it says destination. I run with the destination on my mind. I know where I'm going. How many of you have ever been in a car with someone that was directionally challenged? How many of you are married to the person that is directionally challenged? They don't know where they're going. I'm hungry, and because you don't know where you're going, hunger is quickly turning to hanger. There are people that have tied their lives to you. And the fact that you don't know where you're going and you are running like a crazy person with no destination in mind, you are retarding their growth and you are stopping their progress. That's why when you get married, you better know where you're going. When you have kids, you better know where you're going. When God calls you to do something, you have to wake up with direction. In horror movies, when the Chainsaw Massacre guy comes out, fear makes you run any direction. And I'm always just in those type of movies, I'm like, just go to the police station. You're running all over town. You're hiding in the abandoned barn on the massacre's ranch. Go to the police station. You're not you. You're not you when you're hungry. You're not you when you're fearful. And you cannot run with direction if you're fearful. You're going to run any way to get away from it. You ever seen somebody run from a snake? Everybody's fast. You should see me run from a bat. I could beat Q in a race. If you're fearful, you run everywhere. I want to run with direction, so I run with purpose in every step. That's what gets me. That's what's hard for me. That's what's hard for us believers. We can run with purpose for a quarter mile. We can run with purpose even maybe a few days. But when the writer says, hey, you got to run with purpose every step, that's tough. That's no days off. That's all day, every day. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. There is a real enemy out there that is trying to keep me from running my race. Verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Imagine if we disciplined our spiritual bodies like an Olympic athlete training for July and August. Not doing it for a corruptible metal, church, but doing it for an incorruptible crown, the Bible says. I'm not running my race for a cool picture on Instagram. I'm not running my race for all of the applaud of the people in the stands. I'm running my race because my life eternally depends on me running to win. We train, the Bible says. We crucify our flesh. We train to make our body do what it should, not what it wants. That's a big one, church. For your mind to think thoughts it should, not what it wants. For your hands to do things they should, not what they want. For your eyes to look at things they should, not what they want. I'm going to end with these portions of scripture. I believe they're going to encourage you tonight. Matthew chapter 7, 21. I find then a law, I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But I love what the NLT translation has to say about the same verse. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I don't know about you in this church today, but your flesh is always going to be your flesh. Your flesh is always going to hurt the way you run, how you run. You could have all of the Holy Ghost you want, but if you don't keep that flesh crucified, that flesh will grow back stronger. It will drag you back. It will hinder who you're supposed to be becoming. And this is what the end of verse 27 says after he says, I discipline my body, training it to do what it should, not what it wants. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself become disqualified. That verse, it should be an awakening call for some of us. Because there are people today in hell that knew of Jesus, maybe even pointed to Jesus, maybe even served at a church like Living Way, but they didn't finish and win their race. They came to church, but they didn't win their race. They served a church, but they didn't win their race. And so Paul says, crucify, train, bring your body under subjection. In the end, church, it doesn't matter how hard you have run the race. Doesn't matter how long you've been running the race, or even if you finished the race. The question is, have you won the race? If you don't run with purpose, you'll never win the race. Standing on your feet as I read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness and iniquity. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's a whole group of people that will stand in the presence of Jesus and say, hey, we finished the race. He said, yeah, you finished it. You cast out devils, prophesied. You did a lot of great things in my name. You finished, but you didn't win. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never had a relationship. Running with purpose is based in our relationship with Jesus. One final scripture, and I won't go there, but I'll just remind you, we've been talking about it on Sundays. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is explaining on Judgment Day that all of the nations will be gathered to him, and he will separate the goats from the sheep. To the sheep, he will say, you did mighty and great things. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was unwell and you took care of me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. He said, come on in. They said, when do we do that? He said, if you did this to the least of these, you've done this to me. And to the goats, he said, all of the same things apply. You had the opportunities. You might have even finished the race, but you didn't win the race. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. When you and I get to heaven, he's not going to look at your 40-yard dash time. He's not going to look at how many times you came in first, second, or third. He's not going to look at all of the accolades of finishing will get you. He's simply going to say, did you win the race? Well, I believe I have. Well, have you kept the faith? Because if you still have faith, you've won the race. You've won the race. Billions will finish the race, church, but only a few will win the race. Be a part of that few tonight, and I end with this statement. We win because Jesus has already won. We win because Jesus has already won. But please don't get that misconstrued. You must believe in your heart. You must confess him as Savior and Lord. There's a lot of heresy out there saying, well, he died for everybody and everybody's already saved and we've got... That's a lie from the pit of hell. You must be born again. I cannot make that decision for you. Your mom can't make that decision for you. A denomination, as much as they want to, cannot make that decision for you. You've got a race that you have to run and you've got a race that you have to win. But I have come to tell you, you can do it because he has already done it. He has made a way. And while we were the joy set before him, he is the joy set before us. Jesus, just get this picture. Jesus working towards the cross, and we're the joy set before him. But now we stand at the cross, and Jesus is our focus and our joy that we press into and focus on in our future. I want to open this altar right now for anybody that says, Pastor Brandon, I need some purpose in my life. I want to run with purpose. I want to run with a destination in mind. I want to run in such a way that I'm not running to run. I've been exerting a lot of energy. I've been making big moves. I've been making big splashes, but I have not gained any ground. Tonight is a night of purpose. Look at them filling this altar tonight. God bless you, young men. God bless you, young ladies. God bless you, newcomers. God bless you, leaders. God bless you, Living Way family. God bless you, new faces. God bless you, old faces. God bless you, young people. It blessed me today reading Bishop's post on Facebook just about the plight of young believers that they have today. It is so hard to be a believer in this world, but can you imagine what it's like to be a 16-year-old believer now in this world? So corrupt. The churches or the schools are doing their best to have their voice stolen. Courts are against them. This nation is doing its best to snuff out Christianity, and there is a remnant of young people under the age of 25 that says, I love Jesus and I'm going to run my race no matter what. If you're going to run that race, it's going to take purpose tonight. It's going to take purpose tonight. It's going to take purpose tomorrow. It's going to take purpose. Remember your aim, what you're focused on, being intentional. I'm going to wake up with intention. I'm going to run with intention. I'm going to open my Bible tomorrow with intention. I'm going to talk to Jesus tomorrow with intention. I'm going to speak in tongues tomorrow. I'm praying the Holy Ghost with intention. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. Come on, with intention. Everything I do on purpose, with purpose.